Good evening. It's nice to be here today, or tonight, today and tonight, and tonight to speak with to you from God's Word. I'm going to be speaking tonight about hope. I'll just do it the old-fashioned way. So there are a lot of scriptures that talk about our hope. And so tonight I want to talk about what hope is and how and what it is that we have hope in and who we have hope in. And so what is hope? First, I want to say that it's not a synonym for the word wish or want. And if we were to say, I hope someone would give me $1 million, unless we have a reasonable expectation someone is going to give us $1 million, we're misusing the word hope. What we would really mean is, I want $1 million, or I wish someone would give me $1 million. And wishing means you want something that cannot or probably won't happen. Looking at some definitions of the word hope, dictionary.com defines it in one of the meanings is the feeling that what is wanted can be had or that events will turn out to for the best. In Vine's expository dictionary states, hope is a favorable and confident expectation. And Merriam-Webster states, hope implies little certainty but suggests confidence or assurance in the possibility that what one desires or longs for will happen. So according to these meanings, you must have a feeling that things will happen as you want to have hope. And so of course, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is one of the places we always go to talk about hope. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if we want to turn over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, we'll see that kind of said again, but in a different way. It says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So we cannot hope for things we already have. We can only have hope for things we do not have, but have evidence we will have at some time. Our faith comes from hope, and our hope, our faith grows as confidence increases. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll look at verse 10. And Paul wrote, or does he say it altogether for our sakes, no doubt? This is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. And so Paul is speaking on the subject of it being acceptable for those working at preaching to expect to be rewarded for that work. And he said that he that plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker in his hope. And if we back up to verse 9, he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. Says, for it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? So the Israelites were commanded to not muzzle the ox working in the threshing floor. So although Paul was speaking about hope in a specific sense when using these analogies, I believe they also apply in a general sense. So the farmer works the ground, and he plants the seed, and works to manage all the negative influences on the growing plants. The farmer does this in hope that a good crop will be gathered at harvest time. And because of the things the farmer has learned through observation and education, through discussion with other people and reading, etc., this is what gives the farmer hope that a crop will be produced. Plants will grow from the seed. The sun will shine to help the plants grow. Weeds will grow, which could result in a lowering yield, so they will need to be taken care of or eliminated. And rain will come to water the crop. And so for our discussion about the meaning of the word hope, I'd like to look at just that farmer analogy from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. And specifically on the plants needing water. So, following Robbie's lead, I kind of started using AI to generate images. So you will notice the farmer is not exactly the same person in each image. But anyway, so this slide, we see the farmer. There's clear skies and sun shining. Is there any hope that it's going to rain that day? There is some hope because the farmer knows that it will rain someday, right? It's not maybe not that day. Because he's seen it rain in the past, and even in dry years, it rains eventually. So let's look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. People observe the works of God in the things we see, in the things we see around us. And Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So seeing those things, it helps us to know him and gives us hope his promises will be fulfilled. So on the next slide, we see in this picture, there's some white fluffy clouds, a little bit of gray in them. So there is maybe a little more hope that it could rain that day. White clouds don't usually bring rain, but at least there is enough moisture in the sky to create the clouds, and perhaps rain will come later. So as Christians, we need to continue to have hope, even when there are concerns that could be pulling us down. We need to cling to what is good, continue working at knowing that our hope will be fulfilled, and being close to each other and helping each other out in times of need. It is important in keeping hope alive. Let's turn over to chapter 12 of Romans. And we'll start reading in verse 9. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion." So we need to continue in our hope, even though, things that's not looking like what we're hoping for is coming right away. We need to continue to work, and we need to help each other in keeping each other's hope alive. So now the farmer is out looking at his crops still, and he sees gray clouds. And there's no sunlight, and it looks like it could rain today. And from his prior experiences and knowledge, the farmer has much hope that it could rain today, but it's still not a sure thing. So knowing more about God and his plan helps us to understand how we can be saved. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll start reading in verse 15. It says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Paul prays that the Ephesians receive the spirit of wisdom, the revelation of knowledge, and eyes of understanding. They had been taught about Jesus and had more understanding than those that knew God just by observation of his works. Paul wanted them to understand more and accept those things they had been taught, that they may know the hope of his calling and receive the inheritance. And in the final picture, you see the sky is dark with clouds. There's lightning in the sky and thunder. But you can't see the thunder. But and from his prior experiences and knowledge, the hope that it will rain very soon is very high. And his confidence is high. He is running to the house to keep from getting wet. Now, so let's continue in Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 20, let me back up to verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be a head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So we see we understand that hope is only for those who accept what has been made available to them. So we have to see the things that God has offered us to help us to understand, and we need to work at understanding and following his word. So like the farmer we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we are working for a reward we will get later on. Like the farmer plowed in hope, we are making sacrifices in our lives and working with hope in a coming reward. The reward of eternity with God. Paul wrote to the Colossians about their faith. He said their faith was because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And we turn to Colossians chapter 1 and I'll read verses 3 through 5. "We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love and for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel." And then jumping forward to verse 19, he reinforces that thought. "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So, continuing on is an important part of our hope. Would the farmer have hope if he did not seek to have a harvest? Would he have hope without plowing the ground? Would he have hope without planting seed? Would he have hope if he did not take care of the growing plants? So obviously the answer is that the less effort the farmer puts into growing a crop, the less hope he has at having a good crop. Let's look at Acts chapter 17. In verse 26 and 27. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us. So Paul told those at the Areopagus that God has made every nation so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. And God expects us to seek him. We must put effort into seeing the evidence that God exists. We must put effort into understanding his word, so we can know how to live according to his will. If we do not find the things he has laid out for us and then allow ourselves to accept them or believe them, we cannot have an understanding of God. And without that understanding and belief, we have no hope. Before becoming a Christian, there is no hope. Let's turn over to Ephesians again. In chapter 2 this time. And we'll read verses 11 and 12. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So just as the Gentiles Paul is speaking to, without Christ, we have no hope. And Christ is at the right hand of God. The promises God has given to us through Christ are there. But if we are not willing to accept them, we have no hope. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Which I knew I would do this. Well, I'm not behind. I'm now ahead. So Matthew chapter 16, and we'll start reading in verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." So we need to follow Christ, and we need to be dedicated to following him. Without true belief in Christ, there is no hope. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll start in verse 12. Now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of all men the most pitiable. So there were some in Corinth who did not believe in the resurrection. And Paul is pointing out that if there was nothing beyond this life, Christ had not fulfilled all that is necessary for our sins to be forgiven. And without that, there was nothing to have hope in. His resurrection is a big part of God's plan, allowing us the opportunity for salvation. But I think it is very logical to say the same argument applies to all of the plan. If we are not able to allow ourselves to accept all of God's word, no matter how small we think some of it may be, we do not have hope. It is a great thing that we have been given hope of salvation. Let's look at Titus chapter 2. And starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. And then let's turn over to chapter 3, or maybe not turn over, maybe on the same page, and we'll start in verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So our hope is eternal life. And and we get that hope through Jesus. And let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll read verse 19. It says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Or we have this hope as an anchor of our souls, and that hope is what helps us stay where we need to be working to be obedient to him. So our hope is what drives us at doing that work and being obedient to God. Let's go back to Colossians. Something we read already. We read in Colossians 1:5, our faith comes from the hope laid up for us in heaven. And also, we heard of that hope in the word of the truth of the gospel. Hearing the word is necessary to receiving that hope. just like the farmer, to have our hope fulfilled, we must do work. And let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1 in the first 11 verses. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Christ Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. These promises are to be fulfilled through God's grace and through knowledge about God and Jesus. And if we're diligent in growing in faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly love, we will make our call and election sure. And finally, we need to remember who it is that has given us promise. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 23. Which just simply says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So the promise comes from God, and he is faithful. And then let's finish up by looking at 2 Timothy chapter, and put down the chapter. Chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Says, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So, just some thoughts about hope, the hope we have, and who it is that has given us hope, and that our hope is our eternal salvation with God. And so if there's anyone that has a need tonight, if you're one that hasn't yet obeyed the call and become one of God's children, or if you have another need and want the prayers of the congregation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.